Thank you, Brother Cook. I don't think it was announced that I'd be here, and that's good you're here. I heard of a special speaker went somewhere, and there wasn't anybody there but just him and the pastor. And he said, "Didn't you announce that I was coming?" And the pastor said, "No, but I'm sure going to find out who did." So, anyway... Well, you're not a captive audience. You can always get up and walk out, I guess. Not like preaching in jail. I've done that a time or two, too. All right, found in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. Brother Ziegler called yesterday. See if I was on track, and I was. He said he'd be heading back in the morning. So we'll fill in here, and then everything will be back on schedule. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan had yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And then on down in verse 11, then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." Then let's turn over to Romans chapter 5. We'll see how this applies to us in regard to God's grace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for grace. Thank you this morning for what thou hast done for us. We're here this morning because of the grace of God, the help of God. You know every heart. There'd be any this morning that would be without the grace of God and the comfort that thou dost give. We pray you'd touch their hearts and move upon them and help them, Heavenly Father, to want thy will, thy way in their hearts and lives above everything else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My text in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. You say, what does that have to do with the first story that you read about Mephibosheth? Well, I think Mephibosheth and the story there with David, I think it's one of the greatest stories of grace and of mercy, even undeserved grace, and I suppose that's the way that it always comes in regard to Mephibosheth. And we notice in regard to us here in Romans, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace that God has for us and that he's provided for us. We've probably got keys in our pocket this morning to our automobiles or to our houses back home, and that gives us access to that automobile or access to that home or that house. And so there's grace this morning, abundant in grace that God has supplied, and we have access by faith. I realize this morning that it's not always easy, and individuals face a lot of problems sometimes, and they say, well, I don't know how to get in, and I don't know how to believe God, but the Holy Spirit is faithful to help us. He said, into this grace wherein we stand. You know, whenever the scripture's talking about wherein we stand, that means we're possessors of that particular place and that particular stand. There's individuals that don't stand this morning. They're not standing because they're not established in the grace of God. But I'm glad this morning wherein we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Aren't you glad we don't have to be up and down and in and out and wondering whether it's the right way and whether we've got the grace of God and whether we're right with him, but we have faith to believe God. We got in. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We move by faith. We're trusting God this morning. And one of these days, he'll take us over to the other side. Thank God this morning for that grace. And I don't think we make enough of it, enough fuss about it, but thank God. You know, somebody said it's God's marvelous grace. And John Wesley summed it up. I suppose there's no way that you can sum it all up, but John Wesley. No. Yeah, who was the fellow that wrote Amazing Grace? John Newton? Newton summed it up this way. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I don't know how you would sum it up this morning, and I don't know how it applies to your heart this morning, but it's amazing grace. We've sang it time and time again. Well, he said being justified by faith. You know what it means to be justified. Justified in the sight of God. Justified means as though we never were guilty. as though we never did do it. I mean, the slate has been wiped clean. Thank God. I've noticed sometimes on billboards, and others may be testifying, and they said, you know, if you want to get your criminal record cleared up and make it clear out of coming out of Indy, there's a billboard there. And I guess if you could pay enough, maybe to somebody, they could get the slate cleared. I don't know if it's not too bad. I guess they think they can. And I guess if you got enough money, probably you could. But I'm glad this morning that Jesus cleared the slate. And that's why that we could say that we're justified this morning. We don't have to come in feeling all browbeat and beat down and guilty. And as Mephibosheth came in before David, but we can come in rejoicing this morning. Well, into this grace. Now there's three things that I want to call your attention before we get over to Mephibosheth and look at him this morning. In verse 6, it talks about sinners for whom Christ died. That's us. Then get on down to verse 8, and it talks about Christ dying for the ungodly. That's us. That was us before we got to God. Then on down in verse 10, it talks about being the enemies. And that again was us. Can you imagine being an enemy of God? I mean, squaring off and doubling up your fists and trying to take God on, you know. I can't imagine individuals wanting to do that, but there are individuals that shake their fist in God's face. Somebody told me years ago over here at Huron that there was a bull got up on the railroad track and he took on the train whenever it came along. They said he was scattered for I don't know how long. Prime rib, rump roast, whatever, you know, scattered along the railroad tracks. I mean, I don't know if he thought he won or what happened, but he definitely was a loser. And whenever we take on God, you know, we're going to be, he has all power and all ability, and there's no way that we can stand against him. And we were enemies against God, and yet Christ died for us, and reconciliation was made between us and God because of this grace that I'm talking about this morning. Well, the Lord stirred up David, King David, and he said, who is there that I could show the kindness of God of the soul of Saul? Well, they said, we don't know. But you know, there was a servant named Ziba, and he worked for King Saul. And if anybody would know, he would know who it was. And so they called for him, and he came in. And David said, I want to show the kindness of God unto somebody of the household of Saul. And is there anybody like that left? He said, there is one. He said, Mephibosheth. He's over in the house of Machir, the son of Melio, over in Lodabar. But there's a problem. He's lame in his feet. And there's no need to call him to come, because he's crippled. You know, whenever we were in sin, there wasn't much we could do to get to God. I like the songwriter when he said, I couldn't come to him, but he come to me. I couldn't come. I was held in chains. I was lame. I'd been an enemy of God. I was a sinner. Romans said, ungodly. And so I was in a predicament. And I couldn't come. He's lame, King David. He can't come. Scripture said David fetched him. I don't know if you've ever been fetched or not, but he fetched him. He said, go get him. I want to see him. That was the order out of the palace. That was the order of the king. And I can see things begin to hustle and bustle immediately. I can see them as they get down there and get that team of steeds out and back them up to that chariot of the king. And away they go. I mean, they're on the business of the king. Those wheels were a-turning, and the dust and the sand a-kicking out behind those wheels, and the dust in a swirl roundabout, and you better not get in the way. I can see a couple soldiers on each side in that chariot with their helmet on and their swords, one on each side, riding, can't say shotgun, riding whatever on that, you know. But they're on their way to Lodabar to get Mephibosheth. You better not get in the way. I mean, they're on the way. Did you know that God this morning is looking for individuals that he can show the kindness of God to? Jesus is looking for individuals this morning that he can show the kindness of God to and get to their hearts and get to their lives. And you know, he knows where you're at. David found out where Mephibosheth was. I wish that was easier to pronounce. Found out where he was, and so he sent somebody to get him. The Holy Spirit this morning knows where every individual is living, where every individual's at. And it doesn't matter what excuse or who you're hiding behind. A lot of people are hiding behind somebody else. They say, well, I can't serve God. I can't live it. Did you ever hear a poor, feeble excuse like that? What he said back before he got to God, he can't live it. No, he couldn't. I can't either, and you can't either, except by this grace that I'm talking about this morning that enables us and lifts us up above sin and the world and the devil and doubt and fears and all else and helps us to live for God. On their way to get Mephibosheth. Can you imagine tacking a name like that on a little baby? Mephibosheth. And it tells in that chapter that he had a young son and he named him Micah. Maybe called him Mike, I don't know, but he named him Micah. I mean, that was the end of that Mephibosheth stuff. I mean, it wasn't Mephibosheth Jr. and it wasn't Mephibosheth the second, I mean, that died. There's not but two people recorded in the Bible named Mephibosheth. Jaron said there may have been other people named that. It's just not listed. I don't know. Dexter Swarbin Truber drilled our well. He said whenever they were kids, you know, in school and learning to write their name. He said, time we got Schwarzentruber, he said, we pretty well had the alphabet mastered when we just learned to write our name. Well, Mephibosheth is not quite that bad, just 12 letters in it. Do you know where Lodabar was? I don't either, but I know it was on the east side of Jordan. You remember there was two tribes that whenever they got over to Jordan and got over to Canaan, and they said, we like it right here, and we'll go on in to Canaan and help you fight the battles and run the Canaanites out, but we like it over here on this side of Jordan, and that's where Lodabar was. Now, I don't know. I thought about asking some doctor of the law if he could help me to know how deep Jordan River was when it wasn't flood time? I don't know anything about it. But that's your problem. He said he fetched him, and so he had to go over Jordan River to get him. And I can see them as they made their way in that old chariot and hit Jordan River, and that wasn't, you know, that didn't stop them. And there's not anything that's going to stop God from accomplishing his purpose and reaching souls. And they get right on over on the east side of Jordan and come in to Lodabar, and I can see them as they pull in there. And somebody said, you know, recognizing the king's chariot, and he said, if you're here to pick up the taxes, the courthouse is right. Now that's not what we're here for. Can you tell us where Machir, son of Amiel, is? But he said, just right on down the way. Maybe it's down on the corner, maybe it's down in that dead end street, or maybe it's somewhere else, but that's where it's at. And can you imagine the excitement of the neighbors whenever the king's chariot pulled up down there in front of Machir's house? There was some excitement. Now, poor old Mephibosheth, he was lame, the scripture said, in both of his feet. He had fell, or the nurse had fell with him. I'm not just sure all what happened. Or the nurse fell on him. I don't know. He's lame in both of his feet. And he was sitting out there mending a bridle or a piece of harness or maybe breaking beans or whatever. There wasn't a whole lot that he could do. But you know, sometimes individuals that are hindered. I remember a fellow, Arlo Webb's brother-in-law, Ernie Reed, was crippled from polio. And I've seen him down on his knees out in the garden, working the garden and crawling. And to some of you that's even too lazy to even make a garden, and somebody like that out there working like he did. How's your garden? Now, I don't know what Mephibosheth was doing that morning whenever that chariot pulled in, maybe sitting out there not doing anything. Maybe it was just another day as it had been for a long time. But Machir had evidently taken this boy when he was a child and raised him. And he was of the tribe of Gad. He was a Gadite. And I think probably of some worth and some wealth, because you'll read on later when King David was fleeing from Absalom that Machir was one that brought some supplies down there for them to eat on their way. Mephibosheth, the king calls for you. And we're taking you in. You know, that could be sad news, because whenever a king took over, why, then some of the first thing he done was relieve folk of their heads that was, you know, of the previous king. But this was good news. And it's good news whenever God comes our way. Whenever conviction settles in upon hearts, it's good news. When I was a kid, we went to the General Baptist Church. We had an altar that we could pray through at. And I remember the first time that God ever spoke to my heart, it began to disturb me. And I went to my mother and I said, you know, I don't know. I don't understand. Some had maybe already gone to the altar. But I remember the next night whenever service and God was moving and he touched my heart, melted my heart, and I made my way as a little old 7-8 year old boy, made my way to the altar. And I suppose weeping and calling upon God, my mother came down. She probably was a professor back then, my dad a professor, but mom didn't have a lick of religion. She was a sucking, cigarette sucking mom. She belonged to the Eastern Star. She was interested in the worldly things. A good mom, but as far as old time religion, didn't know anything about it. But she knelt down there and said, son, you said you didn't understand. I said, yeah, but Mom, I do. I didn't understand much, but I understood enough to know God was talking to my young heart. And I prayed through that night. Down the road from us, about a mile, maybe a mile and a quarter, the Moore family, Ab Moore, lived, and they had several children. Dickie was a boy that was about a year older than I am. And Dickie said, "Daddy said, if you go to the altar, I'll whip you, son." And Dickie didn't go to the altar. But you know, a year or so later, when Dickie was laying in the hospital with an incurable disease, and they knew that he was going to die, Ab Moore was running up and down the road somewhere trying to find a preacher that could come in and pray with Dickie and help him to get to God before he crossed the line of worlds. I don't know if there was any neighbors around when that chariot pulled up, but I tell you, before the day was over, I'm confident that everybody in Lodabar knew that the king's chariot had come, and they'd picked up Mephibosheth, and they'd started back to the capital of Jerusalem with him. Word traveled pretty fast. It does around here too, don't it? No secrets. I don't know what was going through Mephibosheth's mind and his young heart. He was a young man, going through his mind and heart as he was riding in that chariot and on his way back, or on his way to Jerusalem. But whenever they got there, got him in, he just fell prostrate before the king. Mephibosheth, yes, I'm your servant. And we see the humility whenever he said, "I don't know what you'd want with your servant. I'm just as a dead dog." Dead dogs aren't worth too much. But I've seen some, it'd be worth a lot more to me if that was the condition they was in than what they are. The king said, "Mephibosheth, you don't have a thing to fear. You're the son of Jonathan. I made a covenant back there years ago that I would do something for the descendant of Jonathan or the descendant of Saul if I could. And you're the only one that's left, and I'm going to do that for you, Mephibosheth." He became wealthy that day. King David, and I don't know if the king was the one that had what the previous king Saul had, all of those vineyards and farms and lands, because he said, "Ziba, I'm going to commission you to take care of this, and I'm turning it. Mephibosheth owns it all." You know, whenever we get saved, we become rich. Praise God. God's grace. You know, you can pray anytime that you want to pray. You can go to the Word anytime that you want to go. God can help you to exercise faith for some of the things that are big, some of the things that are beyond us. God can help us. That's all in the realm of His grace. Mephibosheth, it's yours. Zeb, I want you to take care of it. He had 15 sons and 20 servants. Ziba did. So evidently, you know, there was quite a plantation, quite a group of orchards, quite a group of things that needed to be taken care of. And then he said, "Mephibosheth, I want you to eat at my table just like one of the king's sons." Now, I don't know all that that entailed, but I imagine, first of all, it brought about a change of dress. You know, you wouldn't sit at the at the king's table. Any more wore out blue jeans and the knee out. But you would, there was proper dress. And his beard would be kind of tapered up and fixed the way that it ought to be. And his hair, he'd get him into the barber and get that taken care of the way that it ought to be, as one of the king's sons. And then I wonder, in some of those times when Mephibosheth would come in, maybe in his wheelchair or on his crutches or somebody helping him, you know, and he could get by David. You knew my father Jonathan? Yes, I did. Could you tell me something about my father? Why, Mephibosheth, he was a great warrior. I can remember when just him and his armor bearer went over, you know, and Saul and the rest of them out there and didn't know what to do and wandering around. He and his armor bearer went on over and whipped the socks off of the Philistines. Oh, yeah. There was other things. Could you tell me more? You know, there's something in our heart that we want to know more about our Heavenly Father. I've thought about, what did Abraham do to gain such favor with God? All I can find is two things. He believed, he had faith, and he was obedient. I've thought about Moses. God favored Moses. And Moses had his faults. And he had a temper too. He pastored that rebellious crowd, but you could push him just so far and something was going to happen. I mean, he's the one that smote the rock when he wasn't supposed to. He was the one that came down off the mount with the tablets of the Ten Commandments and he crashed them. But you know, God said, you hew out the stones now and bring them up. It won't be so funny next time. You won't be so quick to bust them up. But what was there about Moses? Said he was the meekest man, didn't it, that alive or ever lived or will live? I think that's carrying a little too far. But what did Moses? Just honored God and sought God and obeyed God. I'm reading in the Old Testament where they made the tabernacle. And everything had to be the way that God wanted it to be, in its exactness and in its beauty. And they adorned Aaron and the priest and fixed them up and clothed them, not in just rags or something else, but in a way that was beautiful for the service of serving God. Well, let's get back to Mephibosheth. Told his secretary, he said, you go down to the post office and get me one of those change of address forms. And he did. Old address, Mephibosheth, Lodabar, care of Machar. New address, Mephibosheth, Capitol Hill Palace, in care of King David. Quite a change. Quite a difference. And I tell you, I've noticed individuals that have changed their address. They've moved up. They're living in the palace. They're eating at the king's table. It makes a difference. I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that's hungry. You have to be. Anybody that's sensed the Holy Spirit touching your heart, let's stand this morning. If there's anybody that wants to pray, we'll pray with you until you pray through. But if anybody wants to pray, the altar's always open. Anybody like that this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you for the attention of your people. Thank you for your presence. Help us to keep this day holy. Bring us back tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.